and welcome back to another episode of Kiki with Norwood. I'm your host, Norwood, and on this week's episode, we are joined by therapist and author Melissa Da Silva. We're going to talk all about mental health and how you can support your friend or family member who is transitioning. So, without further ado, Melissa Da Silva. And we are back. We are joined by Melissa Da Silva. Hi, Melissa. How are you today?
Hello. I am doing wonderful. Thank you for asking me to come on your show.
Yes. Welcome to Kiki with Norwood. We are so excited to have you on today to talk with us and educate us a little bit about mental health and the work that you do and your podcast and all the exciting stuff that you're doing.
Oh, I do lots of exciting things.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. So first off, the one question I like to start with everyone on the podcast is I like to ask, what is the first piece of queer culture that you remember being exposed to and what effect did it have on you?
Oh, my first exposure. Let's see. I can't remember. We lived in an area where we didn't have access to people who identified as queer. So It must have been more like in college. I mean, we had, like my mom said, like, oh, I have a gay friend. And I never met that friend. Although I did think my mom was a lesbian when I found a porno magazine in our bathroom. So I mean, maybe that was the first time.
Without going too into detail, what kind of magazine was it? Like,
it was probably like a Hustler or a Playboy. Okay. Yeah, it was like tucked behind our shower stall. And I happened to glance back there because I was bored and nosy. And I found like this rolled up porno magazine. I was like, oh my gosh, I think my mom is a lesbian. Well, come to find out, it was my creepy uncles.
Oh gosh, that's even worse.
Right? But then The part is I threw it outside on the porch. And a couple of weeks later, my mother's like, Melissa, do you have something to tell me? Because I found a magazine on the porch. So she thought it was mine.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. And how old were you roughly at this time?
13.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's an awkward age to have that conversation.
Yeah, and that's back in the day when you didn't have porn on websites and stuff. So you had to find like a magazine out in the woods that somebody left.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, you are, as we mentioned in your intro, you are a licensed clinical social worker and you are a therapist and you do a lot of work with the LGBTQ community. What brought you to the work that you do now? What made you decide to get into this?
Well, I originally wanted to be a school social worker and I went to school for that. And I did that for about 6 years and then realized I don't like being around screaming kids all day. It's just too much for my nervous system.
Yes, I'm on board with you on that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you break up one fist fight, you're good, you know? Like, I'm all set. And so I knew that I wanted to start a private practice. And when I was a school social worker, we had this student that was starting their transition journey. And I knew that they were looking for a counselor in the area, but we really couldn't find anybody. There was maybe like one or two, but they were all full. And so I knew that once I started my own private practice, I wanted to have a practice where everybody feels like they're welcome, that we're very transparent, that we are open to helping people who identify as LGBTQ+. And I specialize in working specifically with transgender individuals and non-binary individuals.
Okay, wonderful. That's fantastic. Now, I think most of our audience listening will know what it means to be transgender or have some idea of that. But some of the people listening, particularly our straight allies listening, might not be as familiar with the term non-binary. So can you break that down really simply for people?
Yeah. So my clients who identify as non-binary say that they don't feel that they identify with one gender or another, or they feel like they might identify with both genders and maybe one day skew to one side versus another side, but doesn't feel like they fit into either male or female. And I know that some people will say, well, this is just a made-up thing. It's just a fad. But when I meet my clients and they identify as non-binary, you see like that, yes, this is how they describe themselves. And yes, it makes sense because you don't get like the sense of male or female energy coming off of them. They're non-binary.
Mm. Well, that's very interesting. And thank you for sharing that with us. And what, when it comes to your practice, what are some of the main issues that you are seeing with your LGBTQ clients?
Well, when I work with teenagers, it's difficult for parents to accept that their teenager might be identifying as trans or non-binary. Yeah. And so using pronouns can be really difficult. Coming out in the workplace, so if you're going through transition, it can be really difficult. And then there's always this, like, do you look like you can pass? And it's like, yeah. who sets that bar? Who sets, you know, says that you can pass or not pass? So those are the types of things that we deal with a lot in our office.
Okay. And what kind of resources do you, or are there resources for queer listeners who are looking for an LGBTQ affirming therapist? Where's somewhere they can look?
Well, recently we just got a accreditation from Blue Cross Blue Shield as being a safe zone business. So other states may be able to check their Blue Cross Blue Shield and see if there's any therapist out there who also have that accreditation.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know about that. So that's an accreditation that they use, that Blue Cross is using for their providers to say this provider has shown that they are accepting of, you know, queer people and their issues.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And what's that called again?
It is the Blue Cross Blue Shield Safe Zone certificate, I think.
Safe Zone. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Love that. And do you have any tips for that people who are struggling with mental health issues can do on their own? Like maybe if they're not ready to step into therapy, things that they can maybe do to improve their, say, let's just say general anxiety or mild depression, things of this nature. What are some things that you like to recommend to people?
Check in to see what your sleep is like. A lot of people have dysregulated sleep patterns, so they might be going to bed too late, getting up too late. And some people will say, like, well, I go to bed at midnight, but I get up at 8, so I do get my 8 hours of sleep. But that isn't typically the right kind of sleep you need. Our bodies are just natural beings that want to relax and start sleeping when the sun goes down and wake up when the sun comes up. And when we mess with that, that typically will mess with our brain chemistry and things like that. So you always want to check in with your sleep, see how you're sleeping, if you're sleeping well, and if you're sleeping enough. Check in with your water intake. Make sure that you're drinking at least your 8 servings a day. Everybody's different, but generally they say it's 8 servings a day. And make sure that you're eating properly. You know, get in your vegetables, your fruit, your protein, and all these things really deal with the chemicals in your brain and body. And sometimes when those are off, that will kind of trigger, say, some depression and some anxiety.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really refreshing to hear you say that because I think a lot of people out there, be they practitioners or not, don't always realize the connection between the mind and the body. They kind of forget that the mind lives in the body. It lives in your brain, which is part of your body. And so if you're not taking care of the body, it's going to affect the brain to some extent.
Exactly. So, and what I find with my clients, they're like, well, that's so simple. Like, give me something else.
It's like, why don't you want simple? Yes. Well, let's try simple first.
And always remembering to exercise too, because that's very important.
Yeah. For the release of endorphins and whatnot, I would imagine. Yep. What is the best thing about being a therapist?
I love being a therapist because I work with a clientele that I absolutely enjoy working with. And I have my own private practice, so I could decide what my ideal clientele was. And so I really enjoy working with people who are on their journey of transition and being able to be a support during that transition. So I've had clients when I first opened my practice, and 4 years later, we're still seeing each other almost on a weekly basis. And just being able to see that process as they grow into an adult and then just grow as a person in their new identity. And I think that is the best part of my job.
I imagine that's incredibly rewarding to see that process and to see someone kind of take baby steps at first to being true to themselves and going through this process. And then a couple years down the line, seeing them a, you know, fully developed person who is, you know, so much healthier mentally, physically, and otherwise, through in part, you know, in big part due to your help, that's gotta be very rewarding.
It is. And they recently posted something, I think, on Tumblr, and they took a screenshot of it and sent it to me and really talked about how they were in a really hard place at one time. And they had a picture of what they looked like before 4 years ago and what they're doing now, and just like giving credit to like working hard and working on mental health and having a good therapist. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Now, you mentioned that you have your own practice and you've also written a book. Can you tell us a little bit about your book and how that ties into your practice?
Yeah. So when social workers and counselors go through college, they don't teach us anything about business. They don't want us thinking about money at all. That's just not what we're supposed to do. But the thing is that if you don't think about money, then you can't live the lifestyle that you need to do the work that we do. It's very draining. And you know, you need to have a lifestyle that works for you so you can be the best therapist for your clients. And so I started off 4 years ago, just myself sharing an office space with two other clinicians. And then I figured out how to do the marketing and networking pretty well and grew my practice 4 years later. We're almost going to make $1 million in the practice, and I have 18 clinicians under me.
Wow.
So the book is pretty much about how to start your own practice and make it profitable. So it's called The Profitable Private Practice, How to Start, Run, and Grow Your Therapy Business.
And where can people find that?
You can find it on Amazon or on my website at melissadesilva.com.
There you go. So any of our listeners out there wanting to start a practice and, you know, help people start your own practice, now you know where to go and how to do that, how to work it like a business. Because like you said, if you're not working like a business, you can't help as many people. I mean, you have a much bigger reach now for people than you had beforehand, you know, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And now I can teach other people the stuff that I know, like in my practice, so they can help other people. So it's just like a trickle down effect.
Well, that's fantastic. And what in your opinion are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have around therapy?
That there's something wrong with you. Why would anybody want to listen to my problems? Therapy's not going to help. I saw a therapist one time and it didn't work. And I always say that finding a therapist is kind of like dating. You can try it out, see if you have a good connection with your therapist. And if not, you can try somebody else too. Because one therapist isn't going to be the best for everybody. So I think that a lot of times it's like, I tried it once and it didn't work. And so you better be able to produce magic.
I see.
Yeah. But you know, in my practice, I have people with all different types of therapy styles, and backgrounds and things like that. So you can choose like the type of therapist you think you'd be working best with.
Well, that's great. And so is it your experience that a lot of people have to try two or three or even four therapists before they find one that really works long-term for them?
Yeah, I would say maybe like two or three if like the first one doesn't feel like a good fit. And you don't have to feel bad about hurting your therapist's feelings. And I think a lot of people will just kind of dread going because they don't like the therapist or the process that it is, but don't want to hurt their feelings. So you just keep showing up. It's okay. You can just say, I need to cancel my appointment. I'll give you a call when I'm ready to come back.
Yeah. Well, and that's great advice. Cause I know I can sometimes be that type of person, you know, with a, you know, a hairstylist or a dentist or whatever, anyone I'm seeing for something on a regular basis. And I might not be completely happy with them, might be wanting to change, but I feel almost like, you know, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I feel like I need to keep going or something. So that's good to hear that, you know, you don't need to feel that way with a therapist.
And the thing is that maybe your therapist is feeling the same way about you.
True. That's a good point. So you can turn it around. Another question I like to ask my guests is, if you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Stop wearing thong bikinis to work. Because that sticks with you for a long time.
Oh my God.
that it's okay to pivot in your dreams, and you're going to be just fine. I think those are the three things I would tell them.
I love that. That's fantastic. And now you are also a podcaster. You have two podcasts. Can you tell us a little bit about them and where people can find them?
Sure. I have Chit Chat with a Therapist, and that is a podcast where I interview people who are therapists or have information that would be helpful therapists. And so that's really good for people who are in the practice. And then I also have Pride Connections, where I interview members of the LGBTQ plus community, or allies of them. And we just pretty much talk about anything that that person might be doing. So it could be a reality star, it could be a local politician. So a whole wide variety of different people.
Oh, well, I love that. And I just recently subscribed, and I cannot wait to like go back to the beginning and binge them all. I'm a podcast binger.
Well, I got to tell you, I did my interview with Ammo from The Real World. And that was like the best one because I was able to do it face to face. And we ended up spending like a couple of hours together doing that. And then we went out to dinner. So it was really a great, great interview.
Oh, fantastic. I'll start there. That's fantastic. Now, one segment I like to kind of wrap things up with is something I call love it and over it. So we each share something this week that we are loving, we're obsessed with, can't get enough of, and want to share with everybody. And then something that we are maybe feeling over, something that's, you know, not so great. So I'll give you a second to think of yours. I'll share my love it. This week, I am loving season 4 of Queer Eye on Netflix. I'm already, I think 3 or 4 episodes in. It just came out like 2 days ago, and I've already watched a couple episodes. I just love how uplifting that show is and how they're really making a big point of having diverse, guests on their heroes. They call them a variety of people that they're helping, and they don't even call it a makeover. They have another name for it, like a makeup or a, I can't forget what they call it, but it's more of like the idea of just kind of polishing what you've already got and giving people a boost of confidence. So I'm really enjoying that. And if anyone listening wants to go back to season 2, episode 7, they'll see one of my vocal students, Sean Van Meter, was on the show. And I have a brief cameo at the end. See if you can spot me.
That's awesome. <Yeah. laughs> And now, was that recently or back when they first started?
That's season 2. So that was like their first year of filming.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I watch it back then. That's great.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
So what are you over?
I'm sorry?
What are you over? So you're loving that. Oh, yeah.
I'm over this news about DoorDash. Have you heard that they were using customers' tips to pay their delivery workers? Like they were subsidizing their workers' pay with tips. So the workers were supposed to get X number of dollars an hour. And basically they would subsidize it with tips. So basically they would make sure they got that much, but they would only pay out what was due after tips, essentially. So people kind of got really upset about that, rightfully so. And are now, they just announced today that they're going to be changing that policy to give the full tips to their drivers.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. That is just terrible.
Yeah. So over that, what about you? What you love it over it this week?
All right. So I'm also an artist. So I am like loving acrylic pouring right now. And I just got myself a blowtorch. So I can't wait to put that to action.
Oh, those videos are so addicting. I've seen a few. Yeah.
So I am loving that. I don't have a dining room. I just have an art studio. Because who eats at a table anymore? And what am I over? I am over, I love Twitter for like the hot 5 minutes, but I am over that. I don't get it.
What, Twitter? Yeah. It's a little confusing.
I think I'm too old.
I feel that way with Snapchat. I never got on the Snapchat bandwagon. I think that was for me that I feel like there's like some piece of technology or culture that becomes a dividing line between one generation and the next. And I think for my generation and the generation directly below me, it was Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if I was 2 or 3 years younger, I would have totally been on board with Snapchat, but I've just missed that cutoff where I'm just like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Twitter is the same thing for me. I'm like, who cares what I'm thinking right now?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I don't feel like putting it out there because it's probably not that great.
Well, I kind of feel that way sometimes too, but it can be a great tool to promote whatever you've got going on. So, you know, might be worth giving another crack. You never know.
Well, I do use it to call out insurance companies who won't answer my phone calls for the business and my student loan office.
I love that. I'm sure that they probably get back to you really quick and you start blowing up their Twitter feed.
Oh, so fast.
Oh, that's great. That's a fantastic use for it. I love that. So everybody be sure to check out Pride Connections and Chit Chat with a Therapist. Check out those podcasts. Go subscribe and listen and enjoy. Is there anything else that you want to plug with us, Melissa?
I think that's good. You know, I just wanted to chit chat with you and, you know, that's all I wanted to do.
Great. And where can people find out more about your book and follow you?
You can follow me at my website at melissadesilva.com. And I'm also on Instagram because I get that one. And yes. I am real Miss Melissa on that. And you won't find me on Twitter.
Okay. Okay. We'll stick with Instagram. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Kiki with Norwood, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Kiki with Norwood. Thank you so much for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It would really help the show. Kiki with Norwood is brought to you once again by our producer, Jane Madigan. Thank you so much, Jane. And if you would like a chance at being a guest on a future episode of the podcast, send Jane an email. You can find her email address in the show notes. Join us next week when we sit down and chat with the CEO and founder of Transformation Journeys Worldwide, Gabrielle Claiborne. We discuss the issues that transgender and non-binary individuals are facing in the workplace and how employers can make their place of work a more inclusive one. So we will see you then on Kiki with Norwood.